It took more than 40 years, but federal regulators recently issued new rules limiting worker exposure to a mineral known as silica. Now, silica is found naturally worldwide, but when it gets crushed and airborne on construction sites, it can destroy the lungs of workers who inhale it. OSHA regulators have lowered the level of acceptable exposure, saying that would save hundreds of lives and billions of dollars every year. But the construction industry isn't pleased. Rosemary Sokas chairs the Department of Human Science at Georgetown University School of Nursing and Health Studies. Dr. Sokas, welcome.
Thank you.
So first of all, Dr. Sokas, let's just start with the basics. What exactly is silica and how do workers get exposed to it?
So we talk about silica, and it's really silicon dioxide, which is a compound that makes up a huge part of the Earth's crust. It's found in quartz. It's found in beach sand. It's found in bricks. It's found in mortar. It's found pretty much all over the place. And the way we get exposed to it, the way workers get exposed to it, is when they grind it or jackhammer it, and the particles are freshly fractured. So that means they set up inflammatory responses that actually can, over the long haul, cause cancer.
So that's what we're talking about when we say that some workers could end up with silicosis?
So if you're exposed to silica for years and years and years at a pretty high level, you wind up with chronic silicosis, which causes shortness of breath and can cause death. But if you're around huge, enormous levels, you can actually develop a disease that will kill you in 18 months to 2 years. It's called acute silicosis, and it actually killed one or more of the workers who drilled the Red Line tunnel for the metro here in D.C. So it's a potentially terribly lethal disease.
But Dr. Sokas, I mean, we've known about the dangers of silica for a long, long time, decades, a century even. Why has it taken so long to get to this point when we have significant rules changes?
That's a great question. Really, the first time that OSHA put out an advance notice of proposed rulemaking was back a year or two after it was founded. So it's been 42 years they've been trying. And the problem, I think, is that because it's so commonly encountered, there's a lot of opposition to changing the way business is done, changing the way work is done. And so it really languished. We had a standard for asbestos right away. We had a standard for lead right away. And those two industrial exposures were really much more rapidly controlled. So I think that all combined.
On that point, I mean, OSHA's new rules say that the allowable exposure is going to be reduced down to 50 micrograms per cubic meter on an 8-hour shift. And speaking of pushback, construction companies are saying that it would cost the industry some $5 billion to implement these rules. I presume that's through, you know, changing workloads or safety equipment, that kind of thing, that without OSHA, they could still ensure the safety of their workers on their own. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, if they could, then why haven't they, for one thing? The standard is full of very clear, very simple requirements for all you have to do is wet it. So you wet the silica down, you vacuum it up, you don't have people dry brushing it. I mean, there's really some fairly reasonable and not particularly expensive. So I find those cost estimates to be very suspect.
If it is as simple as you say, do you think the OSHA rules go far enough or should they go even farther?
As a member of the American Public Health Association, we actually felt that the rules could go a bit farther. But right now, the critically important piece is that the new standard be enforced. And in the process of implementing that, I think the employers will find that it's reasonable, that it's feasible. The good construction companies are already doing it. It's the people who are complaining about it that we're trying to reach.
Well, Rosemary Sokas chairs the Department of Human Science at Georgetown University School of Nursing and Health Studies. Dr. Sokas, thank you so very much.
Thank you.